No.
Okay. All right. Just checking. So last week, Kenji kicked off our sermon series we're doing for the summer, which is called Soundtrack. We're looking at, it's kind of going to weave back and forth. So you think about a good soundtrack for a summer road trip. You want kind of a good mix to kind of keep it interesting. And so what we're going to do throughout this summer is we're going to mix in some kind of faith rhythms. So we'll look at some disciplines that we incorporate in our lives and the way that we engage in our faith, but also some spiritual anthems. So like last week, Kenji preached on Pentecost. And it was all about, we've got the power, and that's a spiritual anthem. The Great Commission is a spiritual anthem, and so we'll kind of weave back and forth between those two throughout the summer. And this week, what we're looking at is this idea of the Great Commission and how Jesus spoke to his disciples right before he ascended to heaven. So the passage Kenji used last week from Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is the same setting as the one we read today from Matthew. It's just kind of a different angle of that particular story. But these are like the final instructions that Jesus gives to his disciples. So we were talking about, you know, Emily leading the mission trip and you're responsible for all these people. We did imagine this for a brief moment, that Emily had planned the whole trip and then was in the hospital and couldn't go, okay? So that was a little too close of a reality to happening. We would have been a little lost in what we were doing. And I imagine that the disciples probably were feeling a little bit the same way. Jesus is ascending to the right hand of the Father. What are we going to do without him here to direct us and to guide us and to things like that? And unlike Emily being a phone call away, Jesus has gone to the right hand of the Father. We can pray, we can communicate, we can listen for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, but it's not as simple as having the details and having the plan. So what Jesus does is he kind of gives them the plan. And, you know, this falls kind of in our Christian year. We celebrate Pentecost, which is the day, the birth of the church. It's the receiving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Kenji preached on that last week. I would love to tell you what Kenji said in his sermon, but now that we've complimented Emily, it's time to tell you that she's a tyrant and she ran us ragged the entire time we were in Jamaica, and we had no free time to listen to Kenji's sermon. I'm just kidding. It wasn't quite that rough, but I haven't had a chance to go back and listen to what Kenji shared last week, but I know it was great, and I know it built on that idea of the power that we receive from the Holy Spirit. And so kind of following along in the Christian year, so we introduced the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And then the next Sunday, what the church has done for many, many generations is they have spent the Sunday after Pentecost talking about the Trinity as a whole. And so we hear that woven in our scripture of going and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about that a little bit when we get to that point of the scripture. But it's interesting to me that it fell kind of on our church calendar in such a way where the Great Commission is falling on a day we get back from a mission trip, and it was one that I got the chance to go on, and I got to, you know, see the people of our church be a part of. And here's what I think is so incredibly fascinating about the Great Commission, and I think it ties in with our Jamaica mission. I think it ties in with the Street Feed ministry that we're a part of. I think it ties in with volunteers we have working with LAMP and Options Now and all the other ways to serve within our community. It's given away right at the beginning. I don't have this verse in my slides, but right at the beginning of this story of the Great Commission, it says that Jesus gathered with the 11 disciples. Okay? Here's why I think that's significant and why it's significant for us as a church. It did not say, as Jesus got ready to ascend to the right hand of the Father, he pulled together the best evangelists of all of Judea. He pulled together those who knew the law backwards and forwards and were ready to go and teach and proclaim the coming of the Messiah. It did not say that the greatest preachers, the greatest organizers, that all those people were called together. It says Jesus called the 11 disciples. So we go back in the story a little bit, and we go back a little bit earlier in Jesus' ministry, and we see that these disciples are very ordinary people. They didn't have the training. They didn't have the skill set. What set them apart was the fact that they had been with Jesus. What set them apart and equipped them was the fact that they had been with Jesus and they had walked with Jesus and they had received the power that came from the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we see this story. This story begins with ordinary people. It doesn't begin with the great evangelists and the greatest teachers and the greatest theologians of the day. It begins with the ordinary people that were just a part of Jesus' inner community, and those are the ones he's going to give these instructions to. So, I mean, you imagine, okay, if you're leaving and you're ascending to heaven, and you've got to entrust the instructions with someone, I might have been looking for some different folks, but here's Jesus, and yet again, he's choosing these ragtag guys that have been following him around, and that's who he's going to empower, and we'll see why as we move through the scripture. But I think for us, the question becomes this: how do ordinary people change the world? How do ordinary people, like the disciples, end up changing the world where 2,000 years later, we are sitting in a building on the other side of the world because of the message they proclaim and the church that they started and the movement and the fire and the power that they proclaimed to all the people that would hear their message? How is this still happening? How is this still going on? How do the ordinary people change the world? And what I loved about being a part of the Jamaica Mission Team was seeing the people of our church are extraordinary. Don't let me fool you on this. But we didn't have seminary-trained people there. We had people who work normal jobs. We had people who are kids, who are, you know, a part of our Rock Children's Ministry. They haven't even been to high school yet, much less theological Bible school. And yet, they were there being the hands and feet of Jesus. And you don't have to go to Jamaica. Here's the thing. We always, whenever we have a mission trip coming up, we're always like, hey, you should sign up. And you should. And, you know, we're going to go to Panama later this fall, and you should go there if you don't want to go to Jamaica. I mean, there are great opportunities to serve, but we also know it's not for everybody. And we also know that the world in which we live in, there are opportunities every single day to live out the Great Commission. It doesn't require going to another country. It doesn't require going to the other side of the world. It is something we can live out as ordinary people. And through that, we can do exactly what the disciples did. We can change the world. So how does this unfold? So we look at the story. So as I mentioned, verse 16 sets the scene. It says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. We get to verse 17. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, I just got to pause for just a second right here. So they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. This has always been kind of a mind-boggling passage to me. They saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. They have literally seen Jesus rise from the dead, and yet some people are still doubting. Now, I don't want to take shots at the disciples. I don't want to question what they were doubting or who exactly was doubting. I just want us to receive that as a word of encouragement. That the people who walked with Jesus, who saw him turn water into wine, who saw him heal people from afar, who saw him raise the dead to life, who saw him raise from dead to life, they're here. He's getting ready to ascend to the right hand of the Father, and some still doubt. If you have doubt in your life, it does not disqualify you from living out the Great Commission. Even the disciples were sitting there on the day that Jesus is going to the right hand of the Father, having seen him raised from the grave and appearing to them on multiple occasions, even then some of them doubted. But here's what Jesus says. Jesus doesn't get too caught up in that. He says to them and said, and emphasis is added here by me, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The beginning point of understanding how do ordinary people change the world is not looking at our own skill set. It's not looking at what we can accomplish on our own. It's not looking at, hey, how did we assemble our mission team? Did we get the best and the brightest? Did we get the right people for the jobs? Did we get all the people with right the skills? No, it's none of that. The beginning of our understanding of how ordinary people change the world is this. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. All the authority belongs to him. And he is communicating to them this because he wants us to see that we should operate within his power. We operate within Jesus' power. Our calling to live out the Great Commission, our calling to go and change the world, is built on the idea of it's Jesus's power that sends us. So going back to last week, Pentecost, we've got the power, Kenji's message. It's all rooted in our understanding that we are operating not from our own strength, but from the strength of Jesus, from the power of Jesus. And what does that power look like? All authority in heaven and on earth. I mean, can you just soak in how big of a phrase that is? All authority in heaven and on earth. So every power, every dominion, everything under God's command, under his control, belongs to Jesus. That is the power that he is sending his disciples out in. That is the power that these ordinary people are receiving. It is coming from that place. So we continue. We go to the verse 19, and it says, we're going to kind of break this down and go slow through this, but it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Now, I want to pause right there on that, therefore go. Now, we've said this a few times in the service already. Emily referenced this. I referenced this. When we do an international mission trip, or we get engaged in something that we're going to do regionally or locally, we have kind of a philosophy, and we came up with this little way of saying it back when we did the hurricane relief trip, because it was like one of those where we were trying to throw it together at the last minute. We were trying to pull together the people. We were trying to pull together the resources, and we had to move quick. And so we came up with, there are three things we wanted people to do. You could go, you could give, or you could pray, or you could pick two of the three or one of the three. I mean, any of those, you could do all of them. Go, give, or pray. Those are three ways that we can be invested and engaged in anything. But here's the beautiful thing about this word go that we see in the Great Commission. It's when it says, therefore go, that's our English translation. But if you go back to the original Greek, which I'm not going to try and spout it off to you, there's a little bit of a verb participle. I don't know English even. It's one of those grammar things where what it is saying is essentially as you are going, as you are going. Not therefore go, not therefore, hey, you pack up and go to the other side of the world, or hey, you've got to go on this trip to this foreign country. It literally means as you are going, as you are going. So what does that mean? So that means in our everyday lives, there are opportunities to live this out. This is not just about going to the ends of the earth, which, yes, that's a part of the commission. That's a part of the command that was given that Kenji referenced last week. But this is part of just our everyday life. Therefore, go as you are going. As you go to work, as you live as a part of your family, as you go wherever it may be. And so when you hear that, what I don't want us to do is think to ourselves, okay, therefore go. I've got to pick a country that needs to hear the gospel, and I've got to go there. Now, God might be speaking to you, and that might be something that you take hold of and you live into. And we will pray for you. We will support you. We will be with you each step of the way. But some of you are going to go to Winn-Dixie after you leave here today, not to Jamaica. Some of you are going to go to a law office or an accounting office or to a doctor's office tomorrow or to, school's out, but you get the idea. Some of you are going to go other places than Jamaica or Panama or Africa or the Middle East. You're going to go around our community. And so for our list makers in the group, I don't have a slide for you to make a list. I want you to make your own. What are the places that you go? Who are the people you encounter? What are your spheres of influence? You might have a list that includes your community, your neighborhood, your social groups, your work friends. I mean, that you could make out, everybody's list is going to look a little bit different. There's going to be some overlap, of course, but everybody's going to have a list. When you hear this, you could essentially say, when it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, you could hear that, and it could instead be, therefore, go and make disciples of all grocery stores, schools, doctor's offices, law offices, accounting offices, you name it. Whatever it is that you're going to encounter in Valdosta, that's your mission field. And God might call you to go on another trip that we do, and that's awesome. You will have the time of your life. But it starts right where we are. It starts as you are going, not just go. So here's what we're called to do. Make disciples of all nations. So the goal of discipleship, the goal of the Great Commission, is not to go and teach them to be good Methodists, although that'd be awesome if they were. The goal is not to, teach them your thought process or anything. It's to make them be disciples of Jesus. It's to point them towards who Jesus is and what it means to follow Jesus. Honestly, that's the one thing that these 11 guys were probably equipped to do, was to tell people what it means to follow Jesus. And so that's what he sends them out to do. Go and make disciples of all nations. Teach them what it means to follow Jesus. Beyond that, we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Because we have seen the revelation, we have seen the completion of the Father who sent his Son, and the Son who sent the Spirit, and the Spirit that is sending us out into the world, out into the mission field, and we get to carry that on. And so when we baptize people, we do it in those names for the completion of seeing the work of God within their lives. So they have been created by the Father, that they have been saved by the Son, they are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and that is the mark on their life. And then the last thing is teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded. So that kind of goes back to making them disciples. We point them back towards the teachings of Jesus. So we not only operate within Jesus' power, we also operate within Jesus' purpose and Jesus' plan. We operate within the plan of Jesus. His plan is that we would go, as we are going, we would go and make disciples, we would baptize them, we would teach them to obey. That is the plan that Jesus has for all of us. And here's the beautiful thing. It's for everyday people. It's not just for those who have, theological degrees hanging on their walls. It's not just for those who have the training or the background or a specific calling. It is for everybody. Now, I want to share this with you. We're going to unleash him at some point. We don't have it on the schedule yet, but we're going to unleash him at some point. When we went to Jamaica, we did a worship service for the church in Salt Marsh, Jacob's Well. It's a church that we've worked with for a few years. And Anthony did not preach. Anthony took pictures and did social media and played guitar all week. It was awesome. But the preacher that night was Chris Reeves. Chris hasn't been to seminary, but Chris got up and he's walked with Jesus. He's an ordinary person who's walked with Jesus, and he operated within that power, and he operated within that plan, and he proclaimed it beautifully. Now, you don't have to necessarily be an ordinary person. Don't think if you sign up for a mission trip, you can get volunteered to preach necessarily. I mean, you might. I don't know. But here's the thing. God can use anyone to carry out his plan. He can use anyone to do the work of the kingdom and to carry out that message to the world. So we operate within that plan. We have a plan that we're following, a plan that we're engaging within. And then finally, here I think might be the most important part. It's almost kind of like a little benediction to the Great Commission. But we see as we get to the end of chapter 28, verse 20, this is the very last part of the gospel. It says, "And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." What Jesus is promising there is, I am sending you. I am telling you as you go, make disciples. But I'm also letting you know that I'm going to be there with you along the way. The way that ordinary people change the world is we operate within the sense of knowing that Jesus is present with us. We operate within Jesus' presence. And because we operate within Jesus' presence, because we know that he is with us, and by the way, everybody on our team, including the kids this past week, did devotionals. And my son, Asher, his devotional was on that very part of that verse, the very end of the Great Commission, that I'm with you always to the end of the age. And he did it on the idea of knowing that God is always present with us. And it's such a beautiful reminder that we do not operate in our own strength, but we do not operate alone either. We operate knowing that Jesus is with us. Now, I wish I had this as a slide, but I don't. You'll have to look it up when you get home. Earlier this year, Emma and I were traveling, and I had taken a book with me to read, and I just breezed through it real fast on our flight. And so when we got to our connecting flight, I was like, I need to get something else to read. We're going to be here for 4 days. I need something to read while we're on vacation and for the next flight. And so I picked up this book from the airport bookstore called Five Mere Christians. And this book, it's on five different individuals. I'm not going to try to rattle them off the top of my head, but you would have heard of most of them. And they were just ordinary people who had a calling within their life to make a difference within the world, but they did it through their business, they did it through their whatever platform they had, and they did it not without any sort of training. Now, there was one guy that was highlighted that used his ordinary work to make a huge difference of spreading the gospel. And he was one of those who operated within the idea of, as you are going, make disciples. And it's a guy by the name of Fred Rogers. So we know him as Mr. Rogers. And Mr. Rogers was an ordained Presbyterian pastor, but he never felt called to pastor a church. He felt called to work with children, and he felt called to use this new thing they had called TV to proclaim the message. Now, this was a very, very foreign idea for Presbyterian bishops back in the early 60s. But they kind of relented, and they commissioned him to be an evangelist to children on the TV. And so Mr. Rogers realized that through his ordinary work, he could make an incredible difference. And so what he did was he taught a generation of Americans what it meant to show love to one another. I mean, what he taught on his show, it's how to be a disciple of Jesus. He may not have always used Jesus as the goal. He may not have always used religious language. But what he taught was how to love one another, how to break past racial barriers, how to be someone who is compassionate in a world that's so hate-filled. And he always pointed people towards loving one another and living out that command to live as people of disciples of Jesus who operate as those who love their neighbor in profound ways. And so Mr. Rogers was featured in this book. And I loved reading the story because I found out that Daniel Tiger, so the little puppet Daniel Tiger, still making shows with Daniel Tiger. Daniel Tiger, that puppet, was just a random gift that he was given at a dinner celebrating one of the shows that he was on early in his career. And he's like, huh, I could use this. And with a puppet tiger and a TV show, he proclaimed the message of Jesus. Now, you may not have the creativity of Fred Rogers. You may not have the platform of Fred Rogers, but every single one of us has an opportunity to live out the commission of Jesus Christ. Wherever you go, as you are going, you have a chance to make a difference. And so our key takeaway today is this: ordinary people change the world one relationship at a time. People that were a part of our mission team may not have changed Jamaica this past week, but Jamaica changed them because they saw the power of just being in relationship with one another and being in relationship with people and sharing the love of Jesus through our conversations and through the ways that we engage with one another. And so when we go and proclaim to the world who Jesus is, as we are going, we are proclaiming it one relationship at a time as ordinary people that God has given us everything we need to fulfill and live out the commission that Jesus gave us. How do we know? He's got all the power, and he said he'd be with us always. What more do you need? What more do you need? Doesn't matter who you are. God can use you to change the world one relationship, one conversation at a time as you are going through your life. So our team comes back up to lead us in our closing song. I invite you just to join me in a word of prayer and to reflect on your places that you find yourself going, where it is that God might be calling you to go and to make disciples of Jesus Christ.